You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
You're listening to
Wrestling to the Max.
Alert, alert, clear all channels.
This is an exclusive.
How you like that?
Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Leeser.
King of Spot. New Japan Pro Wrestling.
To another Wrestle the Max Extra, talking about New Japan Pro Wrestling G1 Climax 25 Night 12, back on the regular schedule, doing these nightly instead of packaging them together. Yeah, Jushin Liger came back for this show after being gone for a little bit, so I figured I should play his song here, especially since we're getting ready for... Hey man, this week was the show where you finally got to see him be announced as the opponent for Tyler Breeze at the TakeOver in Brooklyn. So it's also appropriate in other ways as well. Yeah, before we get to talking about Night 12, I gotta go through the rigmarole of kind of, again, introducing this for people that listen to these and maybe have no idea who we are, other than the fact that you're listening to me talk about the G1 and all this stuff. I mean, we do, you know, if you're a pure person, we don't, like, cover everything Puro. I mean, it would take forever. I mean, and it would just probably alienate one of my co-hosts, who is still, I would consider, sort of a casual, general wrestling fan. He's not, like, if we weren't doing the podcast, he wouldn't watch most of the shows we watch. So let's just be honest here. He wouldn't. So, you know, we try to introduce him to different things as the time goes on. And we're going to be doing Triple Mania next week. Since that show is on Sunday, we did a preview of it, along with talking about how the G1 has gone at the halfway point. We also did a review of Ultima Lucha Part 2, ending their season, Raw, and many other things on the episode that just came out this morning, Rest of the Max, episode 155. That is our regular podcast that we do on Thursday nights around 11 or 12, you know, midnight Eastern, live. It's certainly something that if you care about American wrestling at all, you should check out, because we cover everything. That's why we call ourselves the Every Wrestling Fan Podcast. That's why our fans have called us that. That we cover shows just so they don't have to watch them. So I would recommend, you know, at least checking it out and see what the show sounds like when I got my co-host and it's not just me blabbing on about the G1. Much more interesting, I think, as a whole. But let's get to what you guys are here for. Night 12 G1 Climax. They were in Hamamatsu, in Shizuoka, inside the Hamamatsu Act Tower, for the second to last show before they get to doing six straight shows in Tokyo, which we'll get to that by Sunday. They'll be doing the first Kurikan Hall show by the time we get to Sunday. This is also the last single camera show of the tournament. It was set up right in front of the entranceway, so you got the blinding lights of the entrances again, just kind of like you got on night 4, if I'm not mistaken. Or was it night? Why, I think it was night 2 that that happened, where we had the entrance lights just blinding you and whatever. But yeah, it's all B block action as far as the G1 matches go. But we did have some A block stuff in the tag matches. However, we start with Young Lion action as Yohei Komatsu takes on Jay White. I really enjoy these Young Lion matches. I know sometimes when you watch these, you know, and some of this G1 has really felt like a glorified house show, where a lot of it feels like a house show, especially with the undercard stuff. Then you get to the G1 matches and it's like, okay, they stepped it up here. But still, the production value, because of Samurai TV being involved and all that stuff, still makes it feel like house shows at times. So, you know, when you get stuff like this, and then you get the Young Lions facing off, some people tune it out or whatever. But I really enjoy these. You get to see how the youngsters are progressing. I really think both of these guys, especially, I mean, Sho Tanaka's been gone doing the Pro Wrestling NOAH equivalent of the Best Super Juniors, and he returned on the show. You do see him doing Young Lion duties and, you know, helping the wrestlers to the back, all that kind of thing, putting in the ice pack for them and whatnot. So good to see Sho Tanaka back. I think all four of the Young Lions they got right now, even David Finley is coming into his own. We'll see him in the next match here. I really enjoy their little crop of Young Lions. And if they do go through with this Lions Pride movement or whatever they're going to do, it'd be nice to see them on a higher platform than just doing these opening matches here. So, yeah, Yohei against Jay. This was pretty good. They've wrestled each other hundreds of times, so you know their chemistry is going to be good. We get the variety of running elbows and chops. Jay gets to do his missile dropkick, which is pretty much like his finisher. He puts a Boston Crab in on Yohei. Yohei does his elbow in the corner, his necklock suplex for two. We get really cool pinning combos from the two for some nice near falls. Yohei would get the win out of seniority, I'm guessing here. And, we move on. But I think especially Komatsu Yohei is ready to be done with the Young Lion thing. And I think Jay White's not too far behind. Supposedly Jay is a heavyweight. So be interesting to see. I mean, we cannot. I think if you're a New Japan fan at all, I think you have to be real with yourself that a lot of this roster is old. And they really need the influx of young talent. I think that's why they did the whole Young Lions initiative thing. That's going to be sort of like NXT, because they really need it. They need young talent. These guys are only getting older. And after Okada, everybody on the roster is, you know, getting up there in age. I mean, so especially the veterans, the much older veterans. I mean, we're already seeing Tenzan can barely go. Some of these guys have been kept in phenomenal shape, and that's credit to them. But I mean, how much could they really go much longer? So that's something to take into account. Let's go on to match 2. I mean, that was a pretty good match. I think if you like these Young Lion matches, it's something you can sit through. It's not overly long, and it's enjoyable. So getting to the second match, Tetsuya Naito against David Finley Jr., I should say, against Toriano and Yoshihashi of Chaos. Naito and Yano are going to be facing off tomorrow, so that's why you have this tag match here. There wasn't anything too special about it. We did get Naito resting on the second rope for a little while, and him not wanting to tag in, and doing his typical heel stuff. Eventually he does tag himself in, and then cleans house with a running run and a dropkick, and even a tornado DDT to Yoshihashi. Finley does a really nice dropkick. He has some nice running elbows and uppercuts. He's got that Finley roll down to a science at this point. So he's good when he gets in there with these guys against Yoshihashi, really. Yano exposes the turnbuckle, and we get Finley going into that exposed turnbuckle a couple of times as well to kind of weaken him down. Eventually, we get Yoshihashi and Finley kind of squaring off. Yoshihashi does his slam, the swanton, or the loose explosion, whatever you want to call it, and they win. I mean, what else do you think was going to happen here? When there's Young Lion involved, they're pretty much here taking the pin. But again, there wasn't anything bad here. Just more Naito stuff with his character and more going on with that. So yeah, so let's get to match three. You have an 8-man tag team match. Captain New Japan, Kota Ibushi, your NWA World Champion, Hiroshi Tenzan, Never Open Way Champion, Togi Makabe, Tama Tonga, your IWGP Tag Champion, Doc Gallows, Bad Luck Fale, and AJ Styles, all of the Bullet Club. Bullet Club attack before the bell rings, which, well, these Bullet Club matches are starting to run into very familiar territory for me. Tenzan had some nice stuff with AJ Mongolians, all the kind of stuff you'd expect from Tenzan. It wasn't a whole lot. AJ would come in to do a backbreaker to Ibushi and a few other things, like get lariated out of the ring by Makabe. Not a whole lot here. Ibushi played face in peril for most of the match, too, until he was able to free himself from the peril of the Bullet Club. Makabe kind of comes in with a power slam on Tonga, some lariats, the 10 punches, you know, that kind of stuff. Captain New Japan got one lucky roll-up for a near fall, but that was about the extent of it, as Tonga would get his Samoan neckbreaker and head shrinker DDT for the win. Another win for Tonga, another win for the Bullet Club, and we move on. It really wasn't anything overly special here. It's what it is. This 6-man tag, though, to end the undercard was pretty interesting. Katsuyori Shibata, Ryusuke Taguchi, and Jushin Thunder Liger making his return after leaving for a bit. He replaces Tiger Mask, and the crowd loved the fact that Liger was here. Hiroshi Tanahashi, your IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion Kushida, and your CMLL World Welterweight Champion Máscara Dorada. This is, I think, the first time we've seen them on the same team. Most of the time, they're opposing each other. So this was fun. Tanahashi and Shibata just had wrestling. They just had some chain wrestling to start, honestly. Kushida and Taguchi got tagged in. Kushida did some of his, you know, general stuff. The whole drop kick to the face with the cartwheel drop kick and that sort of stuff. We also get the arm wrench fun with the three guys tagging in and arm wrenching Taguchi's arm various times. Liger comes in with Dorado. Dorado gets him a dropkick and a Sai moonsault to the outside, which looks beautiful every time he does it. Tanahashi comes in and does a senton, but once Dorado's back in there, Liger kind of comes back with his tilt-a-whirl backbreaker. You get a double clothesline spot that happens between the two, and Tanahashi and Shibata go back in the match. Shibata just absolutely nails Tanahashi with the basement dropkick, necklock suplex for two. Taguchi comes back in. And Dorada, they build it to the finish. You get a nice, this really cool series of counters here with Dorada and Taguchi. Taguchi gets in the ankle lock, and then I think Dorada like goes for the screwdriver or does something. I can't remember exactly what it was. He gets a nice pin on Taguchi, and then he's able to switch out something else, and Taguchi gets the ankle lock again, and Dorada taps out. So we got some nice stuff between Tanahashi and Shibata to kind of build to their match. If we're going to see a bunch of wrestling, I'm totally cool with that. Taguchi and Dorada keep things fun. Kushida's going to have some nice, I think, feuds lined up here. I think all three of these, if three of these challengers here, Dorada has to happen. Like I've said several times, they've teased that so much. I think you have to have that at this point. But I'm not going to complain about it. I mean, I feel like Taguchi has really done himself a favor in the G1. He's really, I'm kind of not so down on him as I have been before. So I agree with there. And, of course, having the Liger Kushida matchup would be kind of awesome, obviously, if we get to that point. Just no Tiger Mask. Please, let's leave Tiger Mask out of it. So we get to the G1 matches. Michael Elgin taking on Yuji Nagata to start us off. Elgin has 6 points. Nagata has 2. So it made me think here that Nagata would pick up the win, as you'd think that he's worked hard in this tournament. He wouldn't just be so down on the totem pole here in this Block B. But as we'll see, I guess that's not the case. I thought Elgin looked pretty good here. The crowd really popped for the stalling suplex and the over-the-rope splash. When he went for the lariat, the crowd was really clapping. I mean, it seemed really weird because Nagata's a veteran. I mean, he's a guy that's well-liked. That package they showed for the guy at the new beginning in Sendai match before he would face Nakamura just had me in all kinds of feels for Nagata, and it's just weird that the crowd just was all about Elgin in this match. Really, they had a nice little cool counter with Elgin doing his rounding backsplash that he does, and immediately Nagata puts him into an armbar after Elgin misses it. I'll tell you what, the crowd goes absolutely nuts for this deadlift Falcon Arrow that Elgin does. I mean, they get crazy for this. It's absolutely good stuff. There was a nice ending stretch here as we get a German suplex that Elgin no-sells, so Nagata gets the back suplex. He can't bridge again because of the ribs, as Elgin doesn't do the cheap, like, going after the ribs constantly in this match. He just does it a couple times. He is a face after all, so, you know, he's not going to do that. But, you know, this is where we get the Super Falcon Arrow. We get Nagata doing an exploder into the corner to kind of give him some breathing room. Elgin's able to counter Nagata again, trying to do the backdrop pin. And then we get the two power bombs for the win. Elgin wins. He's got 8 points now. And he's still in that running. He's tied with almost everybody else after this show. So Elgin's going to be interesting until the end. I really appreciate that. I think that looks like Ghetto's rewarding him for really getting over in this tournament and really trying. And that's nice to see. I mean, I don't know how many points he was really scheduled to have before this thing started. But he, like I said, he's doing him a lot of favors in this match, really. Not just this match, I'm sorry, but this whole tournament, he's been doing great. So, yeah, so after this, we have Tomoaki Hama against your IWGP Tag Champion, Carl Anderson. This pretty much had the feeling of a typical Anderson match at the beginning. He's dominating, really making Hama have to feel it with work on the neck. He does the whole knocking Hama outside for the long, count. But then stuff changed once Anderson went, kind of brain buster, and I'm going to do it. And Hama did the deadlift brain buster to counter. Anderson also tried to go for a Kokeshi backsplash, which was pretty funny. He did it in the tag match too, but it was still funny, the fact that he did it. Hama did hit his comeback with the face crusher and the elbow in the corner as Kokeshi. He did a seated blockbuster for a two. Hama is able to later counter the TKO Gunsen at first with a lariat, but he eventually eats the TKO Gunsen for a two. The finishing sequence here was good, too. We have several guns down counters. I guess everybody's going to figure that they need to stand up Anderson on the Gunsen counter because everybody seems to do it now. We get a nice roll-up for Hama that almost, the crowd bites on it, and then a brainbuster immediately following for another crowd bite on the fact that Hama might win. Then he goes over the top rope Kokeshi. He gets too overzealous. Anderson sees it. Gun stun in midair. And there you go. That's it. Anderson wins. I enjoyed this match much better than the previous Honda match, where I kind of felt like it almost seemed like they were starting to wane on the Honda stuff. And it has proved to work here. So at least we're not done with it. And I appreciate that. So there you go. Hama loses again. Anderson also now has 8 points. And we move it on to Satoshi Kojima against IWGP Intercontinental Champion Hirooki Goto. They just beat the crap out of each other in this match. It built with, the usual barricade spots and machine gun chops and elbows from Kojima. Goto got his comeback with a lariat and rolling kick and whatever, the back suplex. But it was a nice, back and forth. You'd have somebody, it's sort of like the Okada and Ishii later. They have a nice back and forth. You have one person has a dominant period, the other guy would make a comeback, and it would kind of happen this way. To kind of keep it going. Kojima hit a DDT at one point to stop Goto's momentum, and then he followed it up with a cutter and a super cutter. Goto would hit the Arushi Kuroshi and then counter a superplex into a sunset flip bomb or code red, whatever you want to call it. For a really nice near fall, the crowd bit on that. Kojima countered the Shouting Kai with a brainbuster, hits a lariat with his other arm because Goto stopped him from doing his lariat with the strong arm, I guess. He can't make the pin fast enough, so Goto kicks out of it. Goto would have the last laugh, though. So he does the Ura Shouten, and then the Shouten Kai combo for the win. As I said, back and forth match that was really good. It built slowly, like I said, but then it was like everybody hitting the, you know, both guys hitting their big moves. They sustained the momentum all throughout. The crowd was into it. It felt like, you know, one of those, you know, when you watch a basketball game and they always talk about how whoever has the ball last is going to win. Well, pretty much that's what it felt like happened here. You know, Goto had the last go at it and he got his finisher and won. Really appreciated this. This was good stuff. I would say check it out. I'd say definitely go watch this. It's something you'll probably enjoy. It's not anything. It's a great match. It's like that border, you know, 4 stars, whatever, where some people don't watch anything under 4 stars, which is stupid. But I think that's where you get to this. It's like right there on that border of four stars if you're doing the star thing, which I do for my written reviews, but I don't really like doing on here because I hate the star rating thing in general. I do it to kind of have something, a talking piece for, you know, the written reviews or whatever, but I don't really like doing it so much. It's not something I'm totally a big fan of, to be quite honest. So, after this, we have Shinsuke Nakamura, who also has 6 points. I should note that makes Goto have 8 points as well. So, 3-way tie right now for the 8 points. 4-way tie with whoever loses out of Okada and Ishii, as we'll get to later. So Nakamura against Yujiro Takahashi. This went a lot longer than I thought I was going to. I'll give Yujiro credit. He worked on the arm a lot here. He worked on the arm, you know, with the barricade. He worked on the arm with the ropes. He wrenched the arm down. He slammed the arm down against the ring apron. I mean, he was really working the arm, and I'll give him credit for that. But just like in the Goto match, even though he did it a lot more in this match, he went away from it. So all that work on the arm kind of sort of just meant nothing because, you know, Nakamura starts using his legs and it doesn't really matter. And then some of his moves do have to do with the arm, like the reverse power slam or whatever, but a lot of his moves are kicks, and the Boma Yi is just a big knee and whatever. So, you know, if you're not going to work on the arm and really do, like, submissions to the arm and stuff like that, it's not really going to matter much at the end of the day because, like, your Miami Shine is not arm-intensive. Your Tokyo Pimps is certainly not arm-intensive, you know. The big moves Yujiro does are not doing much to the arm. So once Yujiro gets into the whole, okay, well, I'm going to start doing my big moves now, the psychology falters, you know. So we get Nakamura kind of coming back and forth with kicks, and, you know, he gets the big knees in the corner. He can't actually get the vibration knees because Yujiro is able to counter twice. Yujiro even counters one of the moves that Nakamura's trying to do with that biting of the hand that is injured. And, you know, so we get, you know, the fisherman suplex from Yujiro. That's his first, like, big moves. Nakamura had to use a wheel kick to kind of save himself at one point. You know, I'll say this. Yujiro really didn't give Nakamura a lot of time to do a whole lot. So it really felt like Nakamura was under pressure. It wasn't the fastest of stuff from Yujiro, but it worked. You know, so, you know, we got a jumping kick. Nakamura got a nice little flurry there towards the end. The jumping kick, a front face lock, reverse power slam, and then he goes for the Boma Yi, but he gets countered with a low drop kick. Yujiro is able to string a Samoan drop and German suplex together, but when he goes for the Miami Shine, Nakamura blocks it. He does a Boma Yi. Yujiro kicks out. He goes to the second rope and does a Boma Yi. He blocks the Miami Shine again, and then he does this big high kick for the win. And Nakamura moves on. This was, for a Yujiro match, his best match he's had. Where there was actually felt like he tried. Because the Elgin match did not feel like Yujiro was trying at all. But, yeah, this was good stuff. I mean, it wasn't anything thrilling. I would say you don't need to go watch it. But it wasn't bad at all, you know. best Yujiro match is not saying a whole lot, and it never lost my attention, so that's something to say for, you know, watching this at 8 in the morning or whatever, after having been up since the whole day, pretty much. So we get to the main event. This was great. Enjoyed the hell out of this. Go watch this. This is your match of the night. If you're going to watch one match from this show, this is it right here. They had typical stuff at the beginning, you know, exchanging holds, and they go to the outside. Okada rams Ishii into the barricade, and then Okada, like, kicks Ishii over the barricade. And then Ishii counters the Hangman's DDT with a front suplex, having Okada nail his chest into the barricade, which pretty much told you, okay, it's on now. He's countered that. This is going to be something Okada's going to have to work for here. So, Ishii made Okada have to sit there until the count of 19. Then Ishii got him with a front suplex into the ropes this time. So, again, Ishii's equal to Okada from the start, and making Okada have to go for it. You know, nice flurry with a chicken wing neck breaker, elbows, DDT, flapjack. You know, kip up out of the DDT, then the flapjack. He does the red ink submission that makes Ishii really have to get to the ropes. Ishii's able to get a German, and he no-sells elbows out of the corner. Hits this awesome powerbomb for a nice near fall. They knocked each other down with blows, and they started, you know, being slow to get up, really selling the fact that the match is starting to take a toll. Okada does, you know, what you see Balor do on NXT a lot, where he does the running dropkick and the guy goes flying out of the corner. You see that here with Ishii. Okada gets another flurry, hitting the neck break, his neck breaker, where he has you over his shoulders and then drops you onto his knee. The top rope elbow, and then he calls for the Rainmaker, and we have a really awesome, as you're apt to see with Okada matches, get a really awesome ending sequence with Ishii ducking the Rainmaker twice, Okada nailing him with a headbutt on the third attempt. He's groggy, but he does a lariat anyway, and Okada goes inside out for an awesome near fall. Ishii hits a sliding D for another near fall. Ishii blocks the tombstone, but Okada hits him right back with a drop kick. Right to the face, Rainmaker again. Ishii backslides out, but Okada lands on his feet. Enziguri by Ishii. He's going for the brainbuster, but Okada slips out with a German. Holds on to it for the Rainmaker, and Okada wins. Thanks to Ishii after the match. Says he's not losing another match in the G1. We'll have to see when Nakamura comes rolling around. And that he's going to win. He let Goto win, apparently is what he's saying here too. So, this was great. I really, really enjoyed this. They were felt like equals, back and forth, just constant. You have flurries from both guys. The ending is great. Enjoyed this a hell of a lot. Match of the night, one of the better matches of the tournament, I think, you know, at least for now. So I think you should definitely check this out. Go watch this match. As far as this night, I think this is the most consistent night of the whole show, of the whole tour. Every G1 match delivered. You had a great one. You had a really, really good one with Goto and Kojima. Elgin shined again. Yujiro even looked pretty decent there against Nakamura. And you also had Hanma back to form with fans behind him there against Anderson. So all good G1 matches. You had a nice opener with the Young Lions. An ending undercard tag match that got you enthused for the big main event of tomorrow's show, which is Hiroshi Tanahashi against Katsuyori Shibata, as they make their last stop on the tour in Yokohama before they get to Tokyo for 6 straight nights. I would definitely say you're not going to go wrong watching this whole show, pretty much. But yeah, watch Goto Kojima, watch Okada and Ishii. And if you want a little enticement for the big main event for tomorrow, watch the tag match involving Shibata and Tanahashi too. So, really, really good show coming off of kind of a sort of stinker show on 9/11. So, like, nice to see Block B kind of bounce back after they also didn't have the greatest of shows on night 10 either. So, for a single camera show, other than when they went to the outside and you couldn't really see a whole lot, it wasn't too bad. So, let's see what night 13 brings tomorrow. And I'll be back then with another review. If you enjoy this, I would really appreciate it if you go on iTunes or Stitcher and review, put how many stars you think it is, say a little bit about the podcast, what you like, what you don't like, whether you listen to the other podcasts that we do or not. Really appreciate it. And again, we'll be doing a W2M special with both of my co-hosts reviewing. I'm going to be really interested to hear what both Gary and Paul have to say. As I mentioned many times here, Paul's the reason we do New Japan. Paul's the reason why I'm doing this right here. So I'm going to be interested, and it's going to be fun to have everybody together for to review the finals in podcast form. I'll have your written review. So 5:30 a.m. Eastern tomorrow, night 13. Until then, if you're not living life to the max, you're not living life at all. You know it. And peace out, everybody.